Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and on Tell Del Tuesdays, we share stories with you of people and the results and their background, their history, and so forth. Someone we have today here is an interesting story because about 5-7 years ago, I can't remember exactly when it was, we decided we were going to go national, and we now have members in all 50 states. We have about 50,000 members that are spread out over these 50 states. And it's interesting because we came up with a motto is live where you want to live and invest where you should invest. This is, and will be one of those stories today, as we go through this with Michael Mader out of Florida. It's hard for me to say, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Del. Glad to be here.
So you live in Florida, but you invested in Georgia?
Yes. And how I ended up doing that was when I first started the program back in January of 22, one of the first conversations I ended up having was with Isaac Martinez. And after hearing his story, all I needed to do was copy his methodology, and it's been successful.
Isaac's great. There's no doubt about that. Let's start way back at the beginning. When did you start thinking about investing in real estate? What brought you to that thought process?
Well, originally, my intention was to just buy a destination property and, either in, a nice beach other than South Florida or even a different country, and renting it while I wasn't using it. And during that period, I found Lifestyles in the least opportunistic way. One that you mentioned at Expo a couple of years ago, I've got teenage, now they're grown children, and I was on Instagram following them one day, and I came across your ad, and it was David Fisher's face, and all of a sudden it said, how I turned $70,000 into $10 million. And sure enough, I clicked on the link, and that's what started the whole process. That might be a path that I could take to supplement, my foreign travels rather than having to worry about foreign ownership.
It's a good point. I think it's one of the strongest points that that I make to people is that, why own one place to go to one place to have to maintain one place when you can make tons of money and go wherever you want, right? So I agree with you. That's definitely a better way to go. So how you found David on Instagram and then you came to Lifestyles. How did you start? Did you come to a free workshop first or did you go right to the two-day?
No, actually, I did the free workshop one evening. And I remember it vividly because it was John Horn giving that night's delivery. And I'm thinking to myself, it can't be that easy, And I've been looking at real estate for years, but the one thing I never had was the knowledge. I didn't do it. And so after doing the free one night, I joined FFP, which, opened up the door to Lifestyles and immediately jumped in. And what I found out early was that Lifestyles' greatest advantage is knowledge in people. And so I went through, I found ambassadors, I started calling ambassadors all over, and ended up in February going to the Lifestyles meetup in Miami. Now I'm walking into a group. I've been a member for a month. I know nothing. And all of a sudden I get that feeling like a young kid again, where I am the least knowledgeable person in the room. But by going there and having those conversations and talking with Josh Dickerson numerous times, you know, I got to the point where I'm like, okay, Expo's next month out in Houston. You know, I'm still somewhat skeptical, but I'm going to go out to Houston and spend a couple days and really decide if this is something that would be a good fit for me. So I went out to Houston, and literally after day two of being there, I was so excited about it. I called my wife and I said, I just want to let you know that we're going to start buying homes and I'm going to buy them here in Texas. That's how powerful the Expo was for me. And then from there, just started to dive into the process. I spent months going through the materials. What I also did is after getting enough knowledge under my belt, I started looking around the United States as to where would be a great place for me to start. Because with limited resources to put forth to it, it wasn't going to be in South Florida. The real estate market down here is, you know, not conducive to making a whole heck of a lot of money in terms of rentals. So I started, you know, I thought Houston, I thought San Antonio, and then ended up in Georgia, you know, looking at Atlanta. And somehow the company was just starting off in Macon, Georgia. And I know Macon, I know Georgia real well. And somehow I ended up in Macon dealing with Lifestyles and the realty office there, and away it went. And I couldn't tell you how or why I ended up where I did, but the process is working for me, Del. It truly is.
Let's take a step back on this, Michael. Let's talk about what you learned in the two-day workshop. I always ask people this question. It's one of my most favorite questions is, you know, what was the aha moments? What just blew your hair back and said, man, that's it. That's what I've been missing. That makes it all make sense. Do you remember any of those aha moments?
Well, so the two day, I actually did the 4 day over, you know, a 2 week period. But it was, you know, listening to people that were having the same exact thoughts that I was prior to jumping in with 2 feet. You know, and the aha moment for me really was having conversations and realizing that they're no different than I am. And then having the conversations with people that were successful. And I'm like, there's no reason why I can't do this, you know, and really just depends on making the effort, you know. And the 2 day meeting, I love it because I've been to it numerous times since I joined. I love the refresher course. And I also enjoy, you know, how they show you it's not a complicated process, you know, because I tend to overthink things like a lot of people. And I tend to disbelieve some of the things just because I'm wired that way. And ultimately, it was just, you know, getting those thoughts out of my head and trusting the process. You know, the aha moment comes from seeing it several times. And you know what? The process works. And if you do what Dell and everybody else tells you, it'll work and you'll be fine. And that's what I found out.
I think that the best example of having apprehension is really going into the entire situation and what's your worst case scenario. You know, in my very first home that I bought, you know, I ran into several situations where on the closing day, I was sitting in a hotel room in Macon, Georgia. It was a wholesale deal. I had $5,000 I already put into the deal. And at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, I killed it and was ready to walk away, simply because I was more than willing to take a little financial setback for in exchange for, you know, doing a bad deal. And so my thought process was, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, the worst thing that can happen is I could lose a little bit of money rather than lose a lot. And when you're in that mind frame, things look a lot different in how you approach every situation.
So now, from what I'm seeing here in your resume, you worked through that problem?
I did. You know, believe it or not, you know, that afternoon, I mean, and I'm on the phone with everybody trying to make the deal work. Rodney Wilson in Georgia, Josh, Isaac, my realtor. And at 1 o'clock, I pulled the plug, and at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a call from a local number that I did not recognize. The seller of the home actually tracked me down and wanted to know what was going on and what was happening and why I wasn't closing the deal. And I had a conversation with the seller that afternoon and went out the next morning and laid everything out on the table. And sure enough, between the seller and myself and the people involved in the transactions, we made it work. You know, I told them I couldn't go into the deal losing money, which that was the situation. You know, your motto is never lose money. But I was going to go into that home at the end of the day with negative equity right from the start. And we got that negative equity down to an acceptable number. And sure enough, was able to close the deal on the advice of people like Josh and Isaac, where, you know, they tell me the equity will come. And sure enough, it did. So, you know, it was leaning on the support of the people in the organization in the middle of the battle that really made the difference.
So normally we try to capture equity instead of get negative equity. It's a really unusual situation. What was the reason to buy it if it was just break-even equity, just to not lose the $5,000, or because it was cash flow, or because there was going to be better equity somehow, some way in the future? What was the theory behind it? How did the deal actually get closed? This is interesting.
So I would say, you know, it being my first deal, the estimated cash flow looked really great, you know, and still is to this day. The issue really came down to, after all was said and done, whether or not the $5,000 was less than or greater than the loss on the negative equity. You know, and that just came around as a result of, you know, probably not as knowledgeable in the execution of the process. The home was great. You know, the tenants are great. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it turned out to be a really good deal. But, yeah, at that beginning, you know, the problem I had was on that first deal, I spent $2,200 on appraisals. I got appraisers that were coming back with bad numbers. And having the Lifestyles Realtor go out and actually correct the appraiser really made the difference too. But yeah, I mean, we were just not getting correct numbers that we were expecting. And I, you know, I had four appraisals done prior to closing the deal. And at that point, you know, probably I was a little overinvested in the deal, both emotionally and psychologically. And, you know, said I was going to move forward with it as long as the cash flow was there, because that's what my main focus is on. And it turned out to be a good deal for us.
All right. So that was 2022, I believe, when you joined. I don't know if that's when you bought the first one. But now you've had it since 2000-something, 2 years, 1.5 years, whatever you had it. Yes. What has happened with the cash flow and the equity? Where have they gone?
So the cash flow on that one is right around 17%, cash on cash.
That's good.
My equity now in the property is around $55,000 positive.
And how much did you come out of pocket to buy it?
On that one, I was out of pocket about $33,000.
So you're positive then?
Yes.
All right. You know. So what did you learn from that one? What did you do differently on the second one?
So that was a really good baptism by fire of what the process was for me. And I really went hard on identifying the neighborhoods in my area and looking at certain situations where, you know, distressed, lower rehabs. You know, my methodology right now is finding a rehab, you know, cosmetic or a little bit more, in a home that, you know, has
substantial appreciation at the end of the day, like everybody wants, but it's not the easiest thing to find. So now I understand exactly what the parameters are in the pond that I'm fishing in. And I know within a matter of minutes, if I see a home in that area, I'm knowledgeable enough to understand what the future would hold for that home, looking at what's needed in terms of rehab and making an educated guess. You know, so what the answer to your question is, it really honed my skills into looking at a property and assessing it in a more efficient way.
So when you purchased these properties, did you purchase them all through Lifestyles Realty or somewhere else?
No, they're all through Lifestyles Realty. I've got a great team up there. You know, I couldn't do it without the Lifestyles Realty person that I'm dealing with right now, Vicky Wall.
Okay. So they locate them, they send them to you, you evaluate them, decide if you want them pretty much, right?
They've been identifying homes. Some of them wholesale deals, like the first one I did.
All right, looks like they're going to kick us out the back end, Michael. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with Michael Mader and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Chad on the life-changing rewards of real estate investing.
Whenever you have residents coming in thanking you for taking what was dull and drab and turning it around, making their lives better, that's definitely a blessing.
Become a life changer today with Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297, a 60% off savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Michael Mader out of Florida. And Michael, let's talk about the second house. What was that experience like now that you've got one under your belt?
So the second house was another wholesale deal. And I kid you not, Del, it took me 5 minutes to make a decision to buy that house. You know, it was a distressed property with some distressed owners. And the numbers looked so good. I could tell right away from the location in the area that it was in. Within 5 minutes, I said, yes, I will take it. And we were off and running from there. You know, and I thought that was going to be, you know, one of my best homes. You know, it turned out to be a great deal, you know, getting into it and then rehabbing it a little bit. But, you know, once I went through that first process on everything that I learned, that second home was just that much easier. It was.
What kind of numbers did you realize out of the second house?
So on the second house, hold on a second, I will tell you in 2 seconds. On that second house, which was my best house, right now I'm at a 15.7 cash on cash return and a 40% return on capital gain, 40% on equity.
Wow. Those both sound good. Beats my savings account at 5%. I thought I had a good, nice, high 5% savings account. But that just tears it up. 15% cash flow. Wow. 40% equity. That's where my money should be, in those houses with you, no doubt. Was there anything interesting about this particular deal that noteworthy?
No. I mean, because it's a home that, you know, is only, gosh, it's not that old. I mean, it was built in 2010, you know, and it's in the one thing about it is it's one of those up and coming neighborhoods that they are doing brand new builds right now. And so I haven't even updated what the current comps are based on what those brand new homes are selling for at the moment. Because right now, I've got it valued at a certain number, and it's probably $20,000 higher than that at the moment. You know, I was up in Macon the other week because, believe it or not, I'm right in the middle of completing number four at the moment, and went through the neighborhood, and, you know, they're putting up brand new builds right next to my street at, you know, $30,000, $40,000 above where my house I had it at. So, yeah, you can add another $20,000 to the price of my house right now on that one if you wanted to.
Excellent. How about number three? Let's see if we can get that one in this segment too.
So number three turned out to be a really good situation for me. I mean, another wholesale deal, not a lot of rehab. You know, going into it, you know, the anticipated market value on the rehab appraisal came in a little bit higher because when I went to do the refi appraisal, I took a little bit of a hit. So that was a little bit of a issue there. But, you know, it's rebounded since then. On that house, I am at a 19.3% cash-on-cash return and 125% return on equity. And
wow.
It's in a great, once again, great neighborhood. You know, my key has been fortunate enough to find some tenants that, you know, have been really cooperative. And on that one, I actually went and met with the tenant. That one was the only one that I've had over the past few years where the tenant left and broke the lease. And so we had to find a new tenant over the past, you know, month and a half. But when I went to meet them for the first time, I walked in and the first words out of their mouth were, "We love this place so much, we want to buy it from you." And you know what? When you put together a product and provide a home for people like that, and that's their reaction, you know you've done a great job for everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you think about selling it to them? Just out of curiosity.
Of course I did. You know, as much as I love owning the homes, you know, the last thing I'm going to do is fall in love with them, because if somebody comes along and gives me a deal I couldn't refuse, I'm taking it and I'm moving on to the next deal.
Absolutely. It's just sheetrock, carpet, and paint. And once you get that under your skin and you understand that, then your ability to do these deals is unlimited. It really is. You just keep plowing through them. Obviously, by the third one, you've got a pretty good feel now. What's happening on the fourth deal?
So the fourth deal was an MLS deal that was starting to get a little stale on the market. And they, of course, you know, everybody's always asking for more than what they're worth, and just ended up going in. It's literally a half a mile from my third home, same area, same neighborhood. So I know it well. It's a great neighborhood for people. And I went in there and just submitted a low offer on it and ended up, you know, coming up a little bit off the low offer. There was a small amount of negotiation, but it wasn't enough for them to say no, and ended up buying the house. Now, the great part about this one right now is turning out to be my best house, because I closed on April 24th using the hard money. It was the first time I used Lifestyles Finance. It only cost me $13,000 out of my pocket to buy the house.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking big time.
You know, and so I went in, and what drove that was just an amazing appraisal that we weren't expecting. It came in higher than what our target was. So what that did for me was, you know, I went in under a certain budget that said, you know, okay, I'm going to be out of pocket X. And now my $13,000 is much less than what my anticipated budget was. So now I'm making more capital improvements to the home and taking care of a lot of things that needed to be taken care of. So it's absolutely perfect. Now, here's the kicker. My rehab is going to be done later on today. So 3 weeks in rehab. And because I had to go through acquiring a new tenant on my house number three, I already had a pool of applicants to pull from. Del, I've got somebody moving in on Saturday, on this coming Saturday. not only did I buy the house for $13,000, I rehabbed it in a short amount of time. I've got somebody in there that's going to immediately start cash flowing. Now, my out-of-pocket at the end of the day is, you know, going to be probably in that $26,000 area. But my cash-on-cash return is going to be right around 15%, and my return on equity is going to be 120% right out of the gate.
120%. As a mentor myself, I find one of the most difficult things when people first come here is to be willing to talk about their actual finances. They hem and they haw, and they tell you a little bit about it, and they won't tell you everything. As a financial planner, did you find that to be true, that open conversation about what you really have and don't have is pretty hard to get out of people generally?
It is, you know, and it's based in fear. You know, it's either, you know, fear of embarrassment or fear of looking like you don't know what you're talking about. And that's what the path at Lifestyles helps you overcome. You know, I've been doing this for over 30 years, Del. You know, and I've been a fiduciary for 20. And I believe that I am really good at what I do. And I am the best advisor for the right type of person. But when I walked into LU, I was the least knowledgeable in the room of several thousand people. And that's okay. It's okay to acknowledge that. It's okay to acknowledge that you don't know what you don't know. You know, what's not okay is if you're really going to dedicate yourself and commit to doing what you and the organization teach, what's not okay is not taking that first step or second step or third step. You know, I've referred people to the organization and they haven't taken step one. They might have taken step one, but they haven't gotten any farther than that. You know, and it's truly emphasizing the fact that it's okay to fail. And if for any reason you failed here at Lifestyles, I guarantee you there will be a dozen people that you can turn to pick you right back up.
Thinking about this, the expo, because we were speaking about the expo a moment, so there's roughly 4,500 people there. One of the questions I get all the time, and or it doesn't really ever come out as a question, it comes out as a side, weird, let me ask you this in a different way kind of question is, are there enough deals for everybody? When you walk in and see 4,500 people, they're all happy. Does that kind of blow your mind? You know, you wouldn't think that there's actually that many deals out there that you could do, but these guys have 1, 5, 10, 20, I owned over 100 houses. Did that surprise you how much volume there is out there?
No, actually it didn't, you know, because I come from a mindset of abundance, and especially in this industry, and, you know, from my own personal experience, between house number 3 and house number 4, it's been almost a year. And that's what surprised me, but it wasn't from lack of trying. You know, I was out there trying to acquire deals, and at one point I was offering full ask, and at one point I offered over full ask and still didn't get the deal for whatever reason. So you come to realize that no matter what happens, there's always another deal tomorrow, no matter where you are or who you are. And now, you know, when you look at opportunities like that and you understand, you know what, there's so much out there to be had, it's not even funny. You look at it like, you know, you give it your best shot, you make your best offer, your fair offer for what you want to do and what you're trying to accomplish. And if you don't get it, guess what? There's going to be another one tomorrow.
Last question. We only have 30 seconds, and that is, how has this changed your life or at least your view of the future and your retirement?
Extremely positive, and it's all for the comments that you make about volatility and unexpected things that could happen in capital investment markets. Where real estate, I love secured debt, Del. Secured debt is great, and if I can have a cash flow pension-like plan for me over the next 5 years, that's all I could ask for.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Michael. For the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.